Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello there, and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are investing just a few minutes to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang, and I am your faithful and faith-filled rainbows and lollipops host, because I know there is a silver lining, and if I'm willing to look hard enough and seek long enough, I will find it. We've been talking all about accountability, and trust me when I say this is not my favorite subject. Despite the fact that I know the value of accountability, I sure am not happy when somebody holds my feet to the fire, especially when I've been making the choices that I know don't line up with what I'm trying to achieve. I know what I need to do, and I even know how to do it, but I'm making other choices. Yeah, never fun when someone calls me out on that. Despite the fact that I don't like it, I do know that accountability works. I understand that having to give an account of my actions, which is what accountability is at its foundation, makes me think about my actions. And taking time to think about my actions often leads me to better choices for my journey. Now, I try to write regularly in a journal, and that helps me with my accountability when I remember to do the writing. I try to keep a list to check off as I go along, and that helps me with my accountability when I remember to make the list, and I remember to mark things off, and I actually follow the list. I seem to do my best when I know somebody is watching, or at least I think somebody is watching, or there might be a chance that somebody might be watching along the way. I get that God is always watching me, but that tangible person makes a big impact in my personal journey. I need, or at least want, someone that will hold my feet to the fire, even if it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. But at the same time, I don't want to be around people that try and make me feel guilty about my journey or my lack of progress on said journey, because they're out there. So when it comes to finding the right accountability, I'm going to be sharing some things that are going to help us in this journey to live accountable to myself, to others, and most importantly, to God. Step one is release the situation, and we've talked about that. Step two is think happy thoughts, and that's what we're talking about today. Step three is recognize the difference between accountability and guilt. Step four is to maintain 3 points of contact, and step five is to take a time out. Step one is where I shared the questions I ask myself when I'm faced with a situation. I shared the questions I should ask myself. I don't always ask the questions and I end up reacting. But if I ask them, I tend to do better. One, will it cause me harm? Two, is this my place? Three, how much am I willing to invest? Four, does it draw me closer to God? And five, is it based on faith or emotions? Now, some days I do better than others, and the better than others usually results in less mess than when I don't ask the questions. But just recognizing that I need to ask the questions is helping me make less messes in my life. Today, we're going to be talking about thinking happy thoughts. And I see you. I see you right now rolling your eyes at the whole idea of think happy thoughts. I get it. But thoughts matter. The thoughts that we think will make a difference in the actions, and the actions will determine the journey every single time. So it does start with thoughts. Several years ago, I worked for a boss that subscribed to many of the positive thinking messages. He even took us to a Zig Ziglar conference because he believed in the idea that what we thought and said about would begin to affect how we were able to sell his product. Every morning we had a staff meeting that ended with us chanting, "I feel happy, I feel healthy, I feel terrific." We always had to end with those two claps. And we repeated the process 3 times. I always feel myself smiling at the end of the staff meetings, no matter how I went into those staff meetings. There was just something about grown people standing around cheering those cheers that made me smile. I shared that story with my family, and my oldest son took it to heart. When my morning seems to be starting off in the wrong place and I'm not having quite that positive mental attitude that I should, my oldest son will look at me with a sideways grin and he will start with, "I feel happy, I feel healthy, I feel terrific." And he always repeats it 3 times. And usually by the 3rd time through, there is at least one of us in the household that's joined in with his chant. And I get a smile because of his efforts, even on those days when I don't participate. But that smile lightens my day. He changes my thoughts. And when my thoughts change to something hopeful and cheerful, then my heart changes. And once my heart changes, then everything changes. A gardening friend shared a plant with me, and she told me that it grew only in shade. But I didn't have a bed for shade plants, and so I did what I normally do. I put it in the ground, and I wished it well. The plant received full sun where I put it, and apparently it felt happy, healthy, and terrific in its new home. This ground cover that was only supposed to be a few inches tall soon stood over 4 feet tall. I didn't want a plant that tall in the bed where I had put it, so I dug it up. But the plant was not interested in what I had planned. It came back. It came back bigger and stronger and began to spread. For the last several years, we've spent many hours digging up the remnants of this plant. And just when we think we have it all, it shows up again. That's the way thoughts work. So I need to invest in my thoughts. I need to watch what I read, guard what I hear, mind the people around me, guard my words, and create a habit of positive affirmation. Thoughts happen. Well, quite honestly, without any thought. They just pop up in the mind and there's nothing I can do about them. At least that's how it feels. But the fact that they pop up in my mind is only part of the issue. Thoughts pop in my mind because something has been planted there at one point or another. The planting is intentional through memorization or study. But just as often, and probably more often than not, the thoughts are planted accidentally from background noises or from just being in close proximity to another person. I have to plant an intentional thought garden if I want to grow up thoughts that are going to drive my actions in a positive direction. So I need to, 1, watch what I read. Now, there are 2 reasons. The first is that what I read will take up some of my time. And quite honestly, my time is limited. Turns out I only have 24 hours in every day. If I am reading something, particularly stuff on the internet, it's often going to lead me to other stuff. And that other stuff's going to require more investment. And pretty soon I'm going to be out of time. And I'm going to have read nothing that is going to improve my day or help my journey. But the second reason is a little bit deeper. Because what I read is intentional. It's an intentional investment. And that focused, intentional investment produces the deepest roots in my mind. And when those roots settle down, they push down into my heart and they become the natural response. So it's important that I watch what I put into my eyes by being aware of what I read. Now, the second step is to be aware of what I let into my ears. I have to know what I'm hearing, because what I hear will affect what I say and what I think. My last semester in college, I did an internship at NAS Cecil Field in Jacksonville, Florida. And if you don't know, that is a naval air station. That means the Navy. And that means for 3 months, I was surrounded by sailors almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Their language was kind of flowery. Now, I came home from that experience and was chatting with my Southern Belle mom about something over coffee at the table, and I made a statement that made her turn white. The words that had come out of my mouth had shocked her so much that it caused physical distress in her. I don't know what the words were. She was too shocked to repeat them. But they had not been intentional. The words had come out of my mouth because they had been put into my ears for so long that they settled in and came out without conscious thought. The things I hear will have an effect. The music lyrics that are in the background of my day will take root. The people that I'm around will have an effect because of their conversations. Everything that I allow into my ears will have an effect on what I say and what I do. I need to guard my ears and watch what I hear. The third step connects to that second step because it has so much to do with people. It is all about people. I need to be conscious of the talk and attitude of the people that I allow in my lives, because the talk and attitudes of the people around me will become a reflection on me. And I have to be alert as to how I allow that reflection to be affected. I had a friend growing up that spent most of her time complaining, and I mean about everything. And I found that when I was around her, I was also complaining about everything. Even if things had been going great in my life before she and I started to talk, when I got around her, I would begin to find something wrong even with the good things. Negative attracts and even grows negative. From that experience, I recognize that I need to evaluate the effects of the people that I'm around and that I invest in. Is the relationship feeding the problem or feeding the possibilities? I've discovered that when I put good things into my eyes and I put good things into my ears and I choose to be around those people that are lifting up good things, then I begin to project good things when I speak. I also catch the bad things either before they get out of my mouth or just as they're about to come out so that I can stop them from reaching their full capacity. Now, the fourth step pulls the first three together by turning the attention to the words that I speak, because step four is to watch, guard your tongue. Words have power. The things that I speak will become the things that I believe. They will every single time. If I want to see change in my life and for my life, then I have to begin to speak that change. That means if I want my thoughts to be good, positive, and uplifting, then I have to begin to speak things that are good, positive, and uplifting. I don't just need to watch what I say, but I need to speak purposely. And that is the fifth step. I need to speak the words that provide a positive influence over my life, and they will directly lead to the change that I desire. Just as I once began speaking, I am a writer at a writer's conference. Before I became fully aware of my place as a writer, I spoke, I am a writer. I need to speak those positive changes over my health, over my family, over my life, over every single change that I want. And I start by looking where I want to be in a month, in a year, in 10 years. And then I create the statements that will help me in that journey. If I want to be in better physical health, then I can make positive statements like I am healthy, I am active, I am fit. Now, these affirmations are not magical chants. But as you begin to speak the affirmations, you begin believing them. And once you begin to believe them, then they become possible. But I have to speak the positives over my life to begin moving into those positives. So those are my five steps to get to a place of thinking happy thoughts. Watch what you read, what you hear, mind the people, guard your words, and create self-affirmation. Happy thoughts really do create happy actions. Positive words create a path to possibility. The right foundation makes it easier to follow through on the right planting in my mind garden. I have personally planted a garden in a hole. And I have planted gardens in prepared soil. And trust me when I say there's a huge difference in the return that I get for my investment in the planting. The best foundation for everything in my life is and always will be the Word of God. When I go to the Word for my direction and my focus, then I go to the source that will not only change the world, but it's the source that created the world in the beginning. Paul, the one that was Saul until he encountered Jesus and was renamed, he was not always toting around a positive thought garden. That was one of the reasons he had the encounter with Jesus in the first place, because of his focus. But when Paul turned around, it made a drastic difference in his life and in all of the lives that he encountered. And that's what we are called to do. In Philippians 4, Paul reminds us to rejoice. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then, in case we missed it, Paul says again, "And again, I say, rejoice. Think happy thoughts. Speak positive things. Don't worry. Be happy." Paul goes on to give specific directions on how to think and speak in Philippians 4:8. He says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." The thoughts in my mind will drive the directions that I take. Always. The wisest man in history, King Solomon, reminds us of the power of thoughts in Proverbs 23:7 when he says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." In other words, the things that I believe are the things that I will be. And the things that I believe are the direct result of the thoughts that I grow up in my mind. I have to be protective of the thoughts with diligence, because the thoughts are the beginning of everything. James reminds us of the power of thoughts and the power that they have, not only for the positive, but for the negative. He says in James 1 that a man is first dragged away from the right direction by a thought or a desire that passes through his mind. If that thought is allowed to remain, then it grows up into a belief, and that belief will drive the actions, and the actions will lead to destruction. Now, that's the Catherine translation. The NIV translation puts it this way: after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. What I think matters. The thoughts that I have will have an impact on what I do and how I act, which has an effect on others around me, and it reflects back on me. So thoughts are important. And the things that I let into my mind are the things that grow up into my thoughts. Jesus turns the focus to the "don't worry" portion of the idea in Matthew 6:25-34. Jesus shares the story of the birds and of the flowers, how the birds are fed and the flowers are clothed, even more glorious than Solomon himself. And if God takes that kind of care for the birds and for the flowers, then he will care for us. Instead of worrying about the small details, Jesus says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Worrying won't fix it. Worrying won't change it. Worrying will change my thoughts, and it will cause me to lose the focus that will change my world in a positive way. When I turn my attention to God and to his kingdom and to his righteousness, then not only will the little things be taken care of, but I will be in a position to walk on water. It starts in the mind, with the thoughts that I think, which is why it is so important to be alert about the thoughts I allow to grow up in my mind. I protect my mind when I stay aware of what I read, what I hear, the people around me, the words I speak, and when I make a habit of creating positive affirmations. Having the right thoughts will help me live a life accountable and purposeful without falling into a trap of guilt. The more I pour into anchoring my life in accountability, the stronger my resolve will grow to walk out my purpose with boldness. Thank you so much for joining Growing Hope. Be sure to connect with me through social media or by visiting my website, www.katherinelang.com. On social media, you're going to find me on Facebook as The Katherine Lang, Katherine C. Lang, on Twitter as Katherine C. Lang, on YouTube as The Katherine C. Lang, and now on Instagram as Katherine C. Lang. I look forward to hearing about your journey and growing up connections that will push me in my journey as well as encourage you on yours. Until we meet again, please continue to invest in ways to grow up hope. Hearts open to pursue the extraordinary, because when hope becomes the foundation, then it all becomes possible. Until we meet again, be blessed, and in all that you're doing, be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Katherine Lang. Katherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Katherine's website at www.katherinelang.com. That's www.katherinelang.com. Katherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Katherine with queries or questions at contactus@katherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.katherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Katherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.